Well, it's good that we have an opportunity once again to come and worship our great God in heaven. That's what this life is all about. That's why we assemble on a regular basis, to do that very thing, to praise our God, to come to know Him more, to trust Him more fully. I'm committed to that task. I trust that you are as well. I want to say again, I hope you are reading through your Bible this year in addition to what we're doing here at Broadmoor. It makes a difference in your life. It's made a difference in my life this year. It's been quite a while since I have read through the Bible. Sometimes we get behind. In fact, I got caught up last night. I was behind a few days. I kind of stay behind sometimes. But anyway, maybe if you've gotten so far behind, let that go and jump back in today. It's better to read God's Word than not to read it. So I again encourage each of us to continue to read God's Word because it is so important for us to do so. Well, like Jeremy did this morning, I'm going to be looking at several passages in the book of Isaiah, as well as jumping over to the New Testament as well. And along the lines of what Jeremy talked about this morning, I want to focus our attention on the importance of invitations, both from God's perspective, God's invitation to us, and the importance of invitations that we give to other people. When I think about Sunday evening lessons, you know, we've been here this morning, have been fed once, and so I feel like the lesson should be a little bit shorter. Now, don't get disappointed if it's not as short as you want it to be. But we have been fed once, and I want us to be fed again. But in connection with that, I think our lessons perhaps maybe are more practical as we want to accept some challenges. Take the lesson home with you this coming week. And so And along that line, I'd suggest that it's perhaps more directed towards Christians, though it may be for all of us. But I want to talk with you this evening about the power of an invitation. And again, Jeremy kind of talked a little bit about that in Isaiah chapter 55. But we want to talk about that this evening. I want to suggest to us from a practical standpoint that this is really our job. My job and our job isn't to convert people. Sometimes we talk about that. I converted somebody. No, you didn't really convert them. You led them to the Word of God. We don't save people. God does that. But our real job is to invite people into God's kingdom. Invite people to taste His gracious love and mercy and compassion. And so if we understand that that's really our work, is not to convert people, but to bring people to God's Word, to hear the gospel, to bring people to God's assembly so they can see what it's like to worship God. That all comes about through the power and the importance of an invitation. So again, as we are fed one more time this evening and getting ready to go out to the workforce again tomorrow, Lord willing, I want us to practice this truth, this principle. And so let's talk about that this evening. We're going to be talking about the power of an invitation. And let's begin by looking at some divine invitations very quickly in the Old Testament. The first one is Isaiah chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles open, I want to look at this passage with you this evening. In Isaiah chapter 1, again, God is sending Isaiah, I believe, to Judah to bring them to repentance. And maybe there's a message there for Israel as well in there. But notice what he says to his wayward people. In Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 18, he says, "Come now, come to me. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land." God is inviting his people to come back to him. Now, he warns them in verse 4 or verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken." But again, in Isaiah chapter 1, we see God giving an invitation to his sinful children to reason with him, to come back to him. That's what he's saying. "Come now, come to me, listen to me, let's reason together. And though you've been caught up in sin, I'm going to make your sins as white as snow." And he says, if you consent, if you accept this invitation and you obey me, you'll eat the best of the land. So we see in the Bible divine invitations, God inviting his sinful children to reason with him. The passage that Jeremy used this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3, I'm not going to be looking at that. looked at that this morning. But again, here God is inviting the poor and the destitute to receive abundant mercy. In fact, the language over there, the New American Standard Version, used the word as Isaiah is communicating to these people, "Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to me." And a very compelling language. But again, God is inviting people who are thirsty to come to be satisfied, even if they don't have the financial ability to do that. So again, as we see in the book of Isaiah, we'll be looking at some other passages as well, God invites people to come to him. So these are divine invitations. And so if God invites people, it's important for us to do the same thing. We need to recognize the effectiveness of that. A third example, as we continue to look at some divine invitations, look at Matthew chapter 11 in verses 28 through 30 with me. Again, this is a familiar passage to most of us. This is where Jesus invites those who are weary and heavy laden to receive rest. In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus himself gives invitations. In this case, he's calling on people to come to him. Everybody who is weary and heavy laden, we all face the burden of sin and trial and disappointment that comes our way. And through Christ, we can be forgiven of that. And even after we become Christians, we continue to need to come to God and to receive his mercy and his grace. So again, we see another divine invitation. Jesus invites those who are saddled with sin and they're weary, they're burdened, they're heavy laden. And the irony there, as Jesus said in verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon me. I'll help share your burden. Get in the yoke with me and learn from me."